Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. I'm not a body. Most people think they are. Most people think they're just flesh and blood. But you and I are so much more than that. We are spirit beings. We are eternal. We get to live forever. I said we get to live forever. And this life is but a vapor. It is such a vapor. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I don't know if it's because I'm getting more spiritual and have any more spiritual perspective, any more God perspective of this life. But the more time goes on, the more I see what a vapor of a life this is. This life that we have here on the earth, it is fleeting. It is passing. And things happen so quickly. And before you know it, this thing is wrapped up and it is over. So we don't want to live for this world, for this time. We want to live for eternity. We want to live for God, right? We want to live out of our spirit being. We don't want to just live out of our flesh, out of our carnal mind. We want to live out of our spirit. We want to walk in the spirit. We want to be in tune to what the Holy Spirit is doing, because what he's doing is going to last forever. We're a part of something that's forever. The world as it is for a very short while, but we're a part of something that's forever. We're part of a kingdom that lasts forever. So that's what we're building. We're building an eternal work, right? We're building something that just lasts forever. That's what we're focused on. And so in order to do that, we got to make sure our spirits are strong. We're concerned about our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being. So many people are so concerned about their physical health and their physical well-being. I mean, there's all kinds of commercials, advertisements for drugs and pills and all kinds of medicines people can take for their bodies. And people are, you know, they care about all kinds of natural things in regards to their physical body. But we need to be even more concerned about our spirit, our spiritual health and wellness. I'm looking for some spiritual health and wellness. How about you? Glory to God, because it's our spirit that's going to go on forever. And so we want our spirit to be strong. If it's not, we're just going to be limited to this natural vapor of a life. And that's boring. That's just boring. You know, that can be depressing. So if you're depressed, it's probably because you're focused on the natural. But nobody here is depressed because we don't focus on the natural, right? We focus on the spiritual. Praise God. We're looking to what's eternal. We're living life out of our spirit being. And Jesus said over here in Matthew the 5th chapter, among other things, he said in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's kind of interesting. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I don't know. I've never been to the grocery store. I've never gone to Kroger and was able to find righteousness on the shelves. Were you? You ever have like a craving for righteousness? Like you wake up at night and you have this craving for righteousness. You go out into the pantry and you start looking for righteousness. Does that ever happen? No, because it's not at the grocery store. It's not in the pantry. Because it's a spiritual thing, this righteousness. And it's a spiritual hunger and thirsting that he's talking about. So he's talking about being filled spiritually. Not just filling our physical bodies and catering to our natural appetite. No, he's talking about a spiritual hunger, a spiritual appetite for spiritual things. And we can be filled with it. Our spirit can be filled with spiritual things. And as we've been saying, that is even more important than physical things. You know, we think, well, you can't live without food. You got to have food. Yeah, but Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by just natural food alone. That your survival is not just dependent on natural food. You will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God's word in the book of Romans is referred to as the word of righteousness, or in the book of Hebrews. The word of righteousness talks about being skilled in the word of righteousness. So righteousness is a part of God's word, and that's what you and I, Jesus said, we live by. Yes, we need natural food, but also for our survival, we need to feed on God's word for our spiritual survival. And we want to stay spiritually alive. There are a lot of people in this world, you understand, that are walking corpses. They are spiritually dead. They are spiritually dead. They got physical life for a time. As we said, it's just a vapor of a time. But they're spiritually dead. They're spiritually separated from God's righteousness. They're spiritually separated from revelation of God's word. They're cut off from Him. But thank God you and I got a hold of a revelation concerning Jesus Christ. And that revelation awakened us, raised us from spiritual death, and caused us now to be alive spiritually, alive unto God once again. Hallelujah. Now you got to feed your spirit. You got to feed your spirit if you want to stay alive. That's pretty serious, right? So hunger is a serious, serious thing. When you look up the word hunger or appetite, it means craving, longing, yearning, desire, passion. And because when it comes to eating, our lives depend upon it. Food we view as a necessity, something we've got to have. Well, that's how, now that we're spiritually alive, we need to recognize we need to have God's word. We need to have this righteousness. We need to feed on this righteousness and continuously be being filled with this righteousness, constantly getting filled with spiritual things. And it needs to be just as much of a necessity to us as natural food, even more so, even more so. We need to have this hunger. We need to have a deep craving and longing and yearning for the word of God, for the word, for revelation from God. He needs to feed us daily bread. Now, if you're not getting that and you're not accustomed to getting that, it's very easy to begin to feel that you don't really need that. Because what happens is your spirit's so weak and your spirit's so dull, it doesn't even recognize how much of a necessity the Word of God is, how much of a necessity revelation from the Word of God is. You know, I've had times where, you know, you get busy and you get going and you're doing other things and stuff, and I didn't take that quality time with the Lord that I like to take. I took some time with Him, but didn't really take that extra quality time to really get in there, fellowship with Him, and get revelation from Him, you know, where He's showing me stuff. And, you know, that can go on for a little while, and you don't even realize what you're missing. Until all of a sudden, you wake up one morning and you get in there and you do that and you spend that, and all of a sudden you're getting answers, you're getting all kinds of revelation, and then you realize, what in the world? I mean, this is so good. I'm getting so much in this short period of time. What have I missed? Then you start realizing how much you've missed out on. See, but if you're not accustomed to getting it, then you don't even know what you're missing. You don't even know what you're missing out on. So you just got to take my word for it. You're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on something that you need to have. Your answers are in that food. Your strength is in that food. Your victory is in that food. Come on, your answers, your victory, your ability to overcome, to walk out the plan of God for your happiness, your joy, it's in that food. It's in you being nourished with that word, having that fellowship with God, growing in His righteousness, growing in revelation, growing in your ability to walk according to the Word of God. You need that. You got to have that if you want to have a happy, fun, fulfilling, joyful, peaceful, glorious life. I want to have a world overcoming life, don't you? So it's in that food. It's in that food. And when you realize that, then you start feeling the hunger. You start feeling it. You start feeling the craving in your spirit. It starts getting stirred up in you. It's getting stirred up in you. I hope this word is stirring you up this morning. Stirring. I hope you, it's working up an appetite. And you say, my God, what have I been doing, man? I gotta get in there. I gotta feed. I gotta eat. That's good. You gotta have hunger. Otherwise, you're not gonna go and feed. You're not gonna eat. We gotta have this hunger, this craving, this yearning, this desire, this passion for the Word of God. And just like we've all been passionate about food, we've all been hungry about food. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. We've all been passionate for food, natural food. See, we need to have that same, really, it's like a desperation. I'm starving to death, right? We people say that when it comes to natural food. How about, I'm starving for the Word. I'm starving. I got to have the Word. I got to have it. Glory to God. We got to keep ourselves stirred up in this area because it's so easy to just become carnally, naturally minded. It's so easy to just be so conscious of physical, natural things and lose consciousness of what we really are and what we really need, right? It's so easy to lose sight of spiritual realities. The flesh is screaming all the time. People are talking flesh and carnal stuff constantly all the time. Now, thank God in heaven it's not going to be that way. It's going to be just the opposite in heaven. People are going to be talking spirit stuff all the time, and it's going to be easy, you know, to be aware of spiritual things, to be conscious that we are spirit beings and conscious of our spiritual appetite and all those things. But here, it doesn't come easy because we got flesh. We got a world that's contrary to the Spirit, contrary to God. So we have to shake ourselves. We have to stir ourselves up. We have to work up our appetite by speaking God's word. That's what church, I believe that's a big part of why we come to church. Come to church because if you're just out there on your own in this natural world, there's a good chance you miss your time with the Lord. You're not fellowship with Him. You start losing your hunger. You lose consciousness that you're even a spirit being. Then you don't see the importance of feeding your spirit and doing spiritual things. And next thing you just get away from it. You just drift away from it. But thank God when you're committed to a local church that is committed to spiritual things. And is not just into natural, carnal things and interested in catering to your carnal mind, your natural mind, and your physical body, and your emotions, your soul. But you're in a place where it's stirring up spiritual hunger. Oh, that's a safe place to be. I mean, if you came here this morning and received nothing more than hunger for God, a fresh hunger, just the ability to have an appetite for God, you received a huge thing. That's a good reason right there to come to church. Praise God. And hopefully you get around some people that got some things that you want. Hopefully you hear some things that you don't have. Hopefully you hear about living a life that you don't feel like you've been living. So that you can look and say, I want that. And if I can have that, I'm gonna have that. I'm gonna get that. Praise God. Because if they can have it, then I can have it. Because God's no respecter of persons. So I'm gonna get me a big portion of that. I'm gonna have that in my life. Right? So you know, some people, they're intimidated. These people are too spiritual and I don't belong here. I just feel like I don't fit in. So where do you fit in? You gonna go after the doghouse? Is that where you fit in? Where do you fit in? You fit in a place where people are going after God. You fit in there because that's who you are. And hopefully there are some people out in front of you. Hopefully there are some people that are hungry for God and have something that you want. That's a good thing. That's not something to be intimidated by and make you feel inferior. That should be something that stirs up your appetite. Come on. Faith gets stirred up concerning these things. Faith doesn't get all intimidated and feel inferior. and go run and hide. Is this, these people are too spiritual for me? I've seen it happen. People are too spiritual for me. Good. Let it get you hungry. Because that would be a faith response. Faith would get hungry about it. Can you say amen? So we talked about some reasons why people would lack a spiritual appetite. One of the reasons is because of being sick. Sick, just like in the natural. The parallel, you know, you can see the parallel of these things, of what, how the spirit is by comparing it to natural things. Just like there's a natural hunger, when you lose an appetite for physical food, you have no appetite. It's a sign that something's not right physically with you. Well, that's the same thing spiritually. Something's not right with you spiritually. You're not operating at 100%, because if you're running at 100%, then you got an appetite, right? So that, again, these things should not condemn us if they identify us. They should help us to want to get things right. Can you say amen? Just like you don't go to a doctor, you know, tells you something, and then you just get all condemned and say, I'm just not going to go see the doctor anymore because he told you something negative that you need to do. You're deficient in vitamin B, C, and D. And then you got, I can't believe I'm deficient in vitamin B, C, and D, and you got depressed about it. No, you didn't do that. You went and did what he said. You got some vitamin B, C, and D. Isn't that right? And you did what you could do to get yourself built up in that area where you were deficient. So we don't want to be deficient. Hunger is a sign of growing. If we are burning spiritual calories by walking righteous, then we will be hungry for more. And of course, we see this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's turn there again. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? I'm so glad we're not supposed to just be like mere men. We're to be supermen. Not mere men, supermen, Wonder Women. We're to be the superheroes of this world. You understand that? Yeah, we are. And so notice the church of Corinth, he's rebuking them because they're still at a babyhood stage in their spiritual development. They're not growing. And because they're not growing spiritually, notice what Paul said. He could not feed them with very much. He couldn't feed them with a whole lot of spiritual revelation from God's word. He was only to give them a little milk, just a little bit. Why? Because they couldn't handle any more than that. Why? Because they hadn't spiritually grown beyond babyhood stage. So hunger is a sign of being healthy, and it's a sign that you're burning what you're using, and you're growing. You're growing. Because if you're growing, then you're able to eat more. You're able to eat more. You have the capacity to receive more. And we can receive more and more and more and more until, you know, it's like God said to King Solomon, and he was going to give him so much wisdom, it was going to be like all the sand on the seashores, all the grains of sand on the seashore. That's the kind of capacity that God said he was going to give Solomon. And man, did he walk in wisdom. And did he do incredible things with the wisdom that God had given him? But picture that. Every revelation from God, like a grain of sand. Like a grain of sand. And you got so much sand, it's like it could fill all the beaches of the world. Hallelujah. I want that kind of capacity, don't you? To be able to handle that much revelation from God. Well, how do you get that? You keep using what you're getting and keep feeding, and as you keep feeding, you're going to keep growing. You're going to keep growing spiritually. And as you're growing spiritually, your appetite is going to increase more and more and more. And just as a reminder, remember what Paul said here. He said, I fed you. He didn't say, I taught you. Now, we know he was teaching them the word, but that's not what he emphasized. He emphasized feeding them. Feeding. And we got to remind ourselves, you're here this morning, you're getting fed. You're getting fed. If you're eating with your heart, if you're eating with your spirit, you're getting fed. You don't want to just listen and intellectualize the Word of God. You just don't want to keep it here in the natural. You want to have a hungry heart, and you want to be feeding on it, and it be something that you are ingesting into your spirit, into your very inner being. In other words, you want it to be a part of your life. This isn't just something that's a thought or a suggestion or a good idea or some kind of philosophy that you might want to apply its principles to your life. No. This is a necessity, and you plan on living by every word that you're hearing that's proceeding from the mouth of God. Right? You want to, and that's how you make it a part of your heart, and it isn't just something that just sits in your head that you forget about after a little while. All right? So we want to continue to feed on it. And I want to be able to get into the deep things of God, don't you? I want to get further and further light and revelation on things. I don't want to be limited to just a little milk. Right? We want to be able to get, I mean, think about the kind of things that God can serve. Right? He said that he has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I mean, can you imagine the kind of table that God could prepare for you? I mean, can you imagine going to a big wedding reception? They got this big table. You got all this beautiful silverware, all this great fine china, all this stuff, all this fanfare going on. You got waiters and waitresses walking around, you know, serving you. Some of them got real big wings behind them. And I mean, you got this big table. And you sit down at the table, and they come over with a bottle with some milk in it. They say, drinky, drinky. Drinky, drinky. I mean, to walk away feeling like, you know, you ate enough. When you go to get into an atmosphere like that, and all you had was a little thing of milk, I mean, that wouldn't be right, would it? I mean, you'd know, hey, wait a second here. I'm not here just to drink a little milk. Right? I'm not here for just a little milk. Where's the food? Where's the solid stuff? I mean, we'd be looking for some pretty nice stuff. Can you sit down at a table like that? I mean, your expectations would be pretty high. We need to sit down at this table that he's prepared for us, because there's a table prepared for us right here on planet Earth, friend. You say, how do you know that? Because he said he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You're not going to have any enemies in heaven. He's prepared a table for you right now. Ooh, hallelujah. What do you think? Nobody prepared anything? You think you just walked in here this morning? Nobody's prayed. Nobody's prepared. You know, and we're just going to start flinging stuff. Just whatever comes, we're going to throw it out there. No. We worked harder than any restaurant that is prepared to serve their customers. There's been a whole lot of preparation, a lot of thought, a lot of faith, a lot of energy that has gone in to this fine dining experience this morning. Come on. A lot's gone into this. I know you rolled out of bed, got dressed, and came here. You're a customer. You're sitting down. We're serving you this morning. But a lot has gone into this meal. I got news for you. Just because it was made easy for you doesn't mean it was something that didn't cost somebody something. It cost people time. Energy, to sacrifice, to be able to prepare something for you in a nice atmosphere this morning so you can receive without distraction and be able to go out spiritually strong. This is a fine dining experience. Don't come walking in here expecting somebody to just throw you a little baba. Come on, don't do that. We go to all this work and you know, we got orders, you know. People are coming into the kitchen talking about table one over here, you know. And what is table one? We're ready. We got everything prepped in the kitchen. And what is table one? They want a little milk. Okay. What else? That's all they want right now. Okay. Give them some milk, guys. Pour them another glass. All right. What else? What do we got? Table five. Waiter comes walking in. What do we got? What do we got? A little milk and some toast. They want toast. Yes, with a little butter. A little butter on the toast. I got prime rib over here. No, they didn't want that. That was too much. They just want to, they'd be very happy with a little milk and a little toast. Okay. Milk, toast, table. Next. Angels are coming in. They're getting stuff. And they're taking it to the chairs, serving the people, turning what's coming out into revelation. And most of it's milk. Some get a little chocolate in it. That's the humor. Because if you don't have any humor, they go to sleep. You can't make sure the milk's not too warm for them. There's things that put these little babies to sleep. So don't you do that. You come in here. Oh, they've been cooking. They've been cooking. Did you just smell that out in the parking lot? They've been cooking in this place, man. Something's ready to be served this morning. And you come ready to eat. You come with an appetite. You don't be snacking before you come here. Snacking on world news this morning. Snacking on CNN. I have a little CNN snack. A little Fox News snack. And I got this snack and this snack. And I fill my head with all this carnal natural stuff. By the time I get to church, I'm so full of all this filler that I got no appetite. What a shame. What a shame. Should have been preparing yourself all morning to get yourself ready. Get yourself hungry. Hallelujah. Get on your knees. Repent. Empty yourself before God. Empty yourself of the cares of life. Empty yourself of all that pride and arrogance and all that, you know, self-will. And you empty all that to God. Repent of all that. Confess that out to Him. And you come here ready to eat everything God's got to serve you. Can you say amen? So sad. People leave and go, I just don't get much from that church anymore. I just don't get much. Well, in some churches, if all they're feeding you is donuts, I can understand that. But you say that here? Nah. That's you. That's you. That's a deception you're walking in. And I've had people say, I don't get things anymore. I said, that's funny. I'm still getting it. I'm still getting stuff every week, man. I'm getting stuff this morning. I'm always eating in the kitchen. I taste everything that goes out, trust me. Everything goes out. My fingers are all in it, man. It's what I do. I just pick at everything that goes out of the kitchen. And it's good. I've never lost my appetite for it. Never lost my appetite for it. But if you're sick and deceived, then you'd lose your appetite. And I can understand that. So let's get that fixed. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because a lack of hunger can be the result of being deceived into thinking you're already full. You're already full. Like we said last time, a head full of Bible knowledge has deceived a lot of people into thinking they got a heart full of living word. But we got to be able to distinguish the two. Just because you've heard it before with your head doesn't mean that it's living in your heart. Doesn't mean that thing's alive and active and you're passionate about it. So we have to watch about that. Just having information in our heads thinking that I'm full of all kinds of information. Great. That doesn't mean your spirit's full. If it's just stopping at your head, your spirit isn't full. And Satan will offer you a lot of religious filler food that has no true nutrition in it. There's a lot of deceptive spiritual food, just as there are deceptive natural foods. Oh, yeah. And a lot of folks don't even realize that, how much deceptive food is out there in the grocery stores, in the fast food chains. You know, there's things, they call it cheese. Looks like cheese. Tastes almost like cheese. It's nice. It isn't cheese. It's a combination of chemicals and colors that make it look like cheese, but it isn't cheese. But that's okay. It tastes good. Isn't that what food's all about? It's how it tastes? No. Food's all about nutrition. It's about nourishing your body. It's not just about your tongue. And I'm talking about physical, natural food. It's not just about how it tastes. What's it doing to you? What's it doing to you? It is messing up people's bodies. People are putting all kinds of food in their body that it's not living food. It's dead. When they first got some of it, it was living. They gathered up a lot of raw food, good stuff, and then they processed it. And as it goes through this process, it transforms into something that could stay on the shelf for 2 years. I mean, it could never do that on its own. You understand? Once you pick it, you better eat it because it's going to die. Right? But they got food that has months before it expires. How's that possible? What did they do to it? They killed it. They filled it with chemicals. They turned it into something else. That by the time you got it, there was no nutrition left in it whatsoever. It looked like food. It said in the ingredients, strawberries, pears. But they put all kinds of chemicals on it so that it never loses its color. Strawberries are so red and fresh looking. Yes, it's been that way for 2 months. How do they do that? How do they do it? They do it to meats. They do it to everything. They put chemicals on stuff. They spray it with chemicals. Chemicals that your body was never created to ingest. You were never to have these chemicals in your body. And people don't think twice about it because it tastes good. It tastes good. It fills me. It fills me. Is it nourishing you? Is it doing in you what it needs to be doing so that you have energy and strength to be able to live a long, healthy life? Well, it's easy. I understand that. They process it in a way that makes it very easy for you. You don't have to cook anything. It's already ready for you. Just take it, throw it in a microwave oven, push a couple buttons, and there it is. But you got to ask yourself, what is it that I'm eating? And when you look at the ingredients on the package and the list goes on and on and on, you need a microscope, a magnifying glass to read it. And the list goes on and it's this name and that name. And it's nothing that is grown in the earth. Then you got to ask the question, what in the world is this? What is this? You got to ask those questions. You're responsible to be able to ask those questions. You got to ask those questions. What is this that I'm putting in my body? It may not be good for you. But God has built our bodies so amazing. It's amazing the abuse it could take. Years and years and years of abuse and abuse, stuffing it with all kinds of junk, chemicals and all kinds of things. And we don't see the problem until later on in life. Then there's a little problem here, there's a little problem here. I got a blood pressure problem. I got this kind of problem. I got this kind of problem. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Because what is the history of what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? See, there's food that's dead. You're supposed to be living. You're a living organism that needs to be eating living food. The food needs to be alive. So once they kill the thing so that there's nothing crawling around in it, when you put it under a microscope, everything's dead, then you're not getting any nutrition. Are you with me? So you have to watch what you're eating. You have to take responsibility for your actions. And I understand they do it in such a way that it lasts longer and they can produce it a lot cheaper. So everything's cheaper. But you know, you got to believe that your God supplies all your needs and that if you'll do things right, He will provide for you. He will take care of you if you do things the right way. He said, the Bible says that He fills your mouth with good things. See, I haven't digressed from the Bible. He fills your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's what He's talking about to you this morning. Are you filling your mouth with good things that's renewing your youth like the eagles? Because that's what He wants to fill your mouth with. That's what He wants to fill your mouth with. So it's not just how it tastes and it's fun and it's easy and it's convenient. It's about, is this good for me? Because let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing, and then we'll get the most out of life. Okay, so that went over great. Now, you know, God will just open your eyes to these things. You don't have to be like a nutrition nut and be paranoid about these things. I am far from that. I am not paranoid about food. I use some common sense. But it's common sense that God has given me. He opens your eyes to these things. Say, no, that's not good for you. I'm not going to eat that. But I'm at this person where, you know, you got this strict diet. You don't have to have this strict diet. You just eat smart. You just eat with your eyes open. You just don't let the devil deceive you. All right? Because the rulers of this world are in cahoots to deceive you. And he's using greed in the food industries. He's using greed in things to get people to produce things that are not good for you. So we have to watch that. Can you say amen? Well, it's the same way in the spiritual. See, Satan, he wants to put bad things in your body, and he also wants to put bad things in your spirit. He wants to fill your spirit with a lot of spiritual filler, not a religious filler, so that you feel like you're a good person, and you went to church, and so now God's happy with you. You did your devotion, you did your duty as a spiritual person, and so now you're satisfied. There's no more hunger because you're satisfied, and you're satisfied having been filled with something that isn't nourishing your spirit. We don't want to just have itching ears or tingling taste buds. We want to be hungry. We want to be nourished. Come on. We want to be nourished with good things. And so let's not settle for a bunch of religious filler food. Let's get the true nutrition from God, not sucker for the deceptive foods that the devil's always offering us. The traditions of men are like processed foods that we were just talking about. And we don't want to eat a bunch of the traditions of men. We want to eat the raw word of God. Give it to me raw. Right? I sear some of it. Put a little spice on it. But praise God. Eat it while it's alive and living. Can you say amen? Some people are just getting donuts at church. High sugar. Sweet tasting truth. Sweet tasting truth. If the truth ain't sweet, I ain't eating it. But it's good for you. If it ain't sweet, I'm not eating it. That's what a lot of people are. People do that with natural food. It's like you can't get some kids to eat good food. It's like, oh, it doesn't taste good. Who cares? Here, I'm eating it. It doesn't have to taste good. It's good for you. Well, that's a baby. That's a little baby, isn't it? We need to grow up out of that stage. And it's not all just about taste. Give me something sweet. Give me something loaded with sugar. Sugar, 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 sugar. Lots of sugar. They package things with tons and tons of salt. You should look at the sodium on some of the foods you eat. Look at some of the sodium. It's like, oh my goodness. It'll bloat you into a bloating bloater. so much salt. Salt, sugar. Kill you. Dear Lord Jesus. But, a little salt's good. You are the salt of the earth. A little salt is good. Praise the Lord. And I remember after ministering, it was a Wednesday evening years and years and years ago, and I ministered a word, man, and it was raw, and it was seared, and it was hot. I served it hot. And nobody looked at me like, nobody said amen. At least I didn't hear it. I didn't hear hallelujah, praise God. And nobody came up to me and was, Pastor, that was a great word. Nobody said. They all looked at me. At least it seemed that way. You know, like you've been stepping on toes and feeding things that did not have any sweetness to it whatsoever. So I'm driving home and I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad about it because, you know, I got a natural side of me, you know. And it isn't nice when everybody just looks at you. Nobody smiles. So I wasn't feeling good about anything. I'm driving home. I said, Lord, how was the word tonight? I said, well, you know, was it, it just seemed like a bitter word. It just seemed like a bitter word. It just seemed like it was bitter, sharp. I said, should it have been a little sweeter? Should I be a little sweeter? I'm asking, do I need to change a little bit and be a little sweeter? He came right back. I got a revelation from God right there in the car. And he said, I've called you to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar. I said, all right, praise God. I was immediately encouraged. The Lord was happy. If he's happy, I'm happy. Even if everybody else isn't. I called to be the salt of the earth, not the sugar. There's a lot of sugar out there. A lot of sugar, sugar, sugar word. Sugar, sugar. All right? Beware of greasy spiritual food. Psalm 119, verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart, or spirit, is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver. So he loves the law of God. He loves that word of God. And he says, but their heart, talking about these religious folks that are persecuting them, their heart is as fat as grease. So just like people could have that in the natural, we could be that way in the spirit. We don't want to just be filled with a lot of grease. And I know we're in the South and people like things greasy, but you got to watch that. But having too much spiritual grease in your food. I like my Bible deep fried. You know, some of those oils aren't good for you. You can't eat a lot of fried food. It's full of a lot of grease. It's not good for you. Same thing spiritually. A lot of times we just got to have the grilled word. Come on. Little grilled word, man. Nothing too fancy. But I don't like grilled food. I like it fried. Kill it, kill it. Baptize it in grease. That's how I like my food. See, just like it affects you physically, physical food, spiritually it's the same way. It'll affect your spiritual well-being, your spiritual health. So we have to be on top of these things. Job chapter 34 in verse 3 says this, "For the ear tests words as the palate tastes food." Just like the palate tastes food, your ear tests words. So he's likening the ear to the tongue, see? Because just like the tongue is to physical food, the ear is to spiritual food. Spiritual food, it tests it, it tastes it, makes sure it's right. Good doctrine, we need to be eating good doctrine because we know that there is a lot of spiritual food poisoning out there. There's some spiritual food, it's just fat and it's greasy and it's not gonna nourish you. It's not gonna strengthen you spiritually. It's just gonna fatten you up, fill you up, make you feel like you're getting something spiritual. But it's not gonna grow you up properly. All right? We want to grow in the right direction, not the wrong direction. Right? So we want to grow in the right direction. I'm talking spiritually. We want to grow in the right direction. So we want to fill ourselves with the right food. So there's food that is filler food, and then there's food that is food poisoning. It's bad. It could kill your spirit, kill your faith, literally kill your faith. There's teaching out there that it will kill your faith. There's so much of the body of Christ today that is hearing teaching that's saying, healing went out with the last apostle. Healing went out. Where's that in the Bible? Healing went out. God doesn't heal like that anymore. If God wants to do a miracle, he'll do a miracle. It's a sovereign thing. You can't have faith for that. You can't believe for that. God will do it whenever he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it. He'll kill your faith. Just kill your faith to be able to walk in divine health. Money, God doesn't want you to have nice things. He wants to keep you humble. Yeah, that accident. God caused that accident because he had good things in mind for you. No, it was the devil trying to kill you. No, it was God trying to teach you. Confusion. Doctrines of demons. Poisonous to people's faith. So you can't just open yourself up to any kind of teaching that's out there. You've got to make sure that the teaching is consistent throughout the Word of God. You've got to be a stickler for the Word. You've got to be a stickler for the Word. And you've got to have fellowship with the Lord. You got to know the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, all you have is a dry morsel, just dry dead letters, then it's easy to get deceived about doctrine. So you have to have a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit, and You got to be a stickler for the Word of God. So many times there's groups of people, they're all about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And everybody wants to pray over everybody, and everybody wants to flow in the Holy Spirit. And it's all this flowing that's going on in the Holy Spirit. And it's, next thing you know, it turns into witchcraft, and demons are coming in there giving prophecies because men are giving things out of their soul, and the Spirit of God left a long time ago. And it's all this touching and feeling and all these experiences. There was a guy, he was doing that when I went to a meeting, and he was all like that in his ministry. He was all like the Holy Spirit and everything. And then all of a sudden, the air conditioner came on, and the air blew. And he went, ooh, did you feel that? It's like, yeah, it was the air conditioner. So you need, those kind of folks, they need to be, they've gotten away from the Word. They've gotten away from the Word. Well, that's going to cause you to get into error and be open to deception. And then there's people, we got the Word. Oh, they got the Word, all right. And this Holy Spirit stuff is of the devil. That tongues is of the devil. The devil. It's funny, when I was a heathen going to nightclubs, I never heard anybody speaking in tongues at the bar. Did you? Never heard anybody at the bar. Never heard it. And I was around some demon-possessed people in my lifetime. And nobody was speaking in tongues. No, thank God. That's the Holy Spirit, friend. Yeah. And read your Bible. It's in the Bible. Say, but people, oh, that's of the devil. Oh, the devil, the devil, the devil. And they think they're sticklers for the Word, but they've lost the Spirit. And the Bible says the letter kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. So you got to have that combination. And ultimately, I believe it just comes down to that you really have a heart, not for yourself, not for religion, but your heart is to do the will of your Father who's in heaven. That's it. That's what comes out. If you really have a heart to do His will, then you're going to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit for Him to be able to show you what's right and what's wrong. And Jesus said that. He said that over in John, the 7th chapter, in verse 17. John 7, 17. He says, if anyone wills to do or wants to do His will, the Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. In other words, it's just man speaking to you. Just something coming from man. Is it coming from the Father or is it just a man thing? Is it truth or is it doctrines of demons? How are you going to know? You got a heart to do the will of your Father. You don't just have a heart to learn the Word. You don't just have a heart to learn something. You have a heart to do something. I'm here because I want to do the will of God. I want to please the Father. I don't want to do my own will. I don't want to do what pleases me. I want to do what pleases the Father. Can you say amen? How many people want to please the Father? Oh, I delight to do His will. See, God's Word is God's will for our life. See, so if we just want doctrine, if we just want teaching, if we just want to learn things, if we just want to educate ourselves, if we just want to improve ourselves, if we just want to better ourselves, and it's all about ourselves, then there's a good chance you're going to fall into major deception and have yourself a lot of food poisoning. You're going to get into a lot of food poisoning. But if it's all about Him, all about Him, you're in love with Him, and now you're excited about doing His will, and you just have a heart to please God, and you want to do things His way in the littlest things in life, you want to please God, you want to be right in line with what He wants you to be doing. And if you have a heart to do His will, Jesus said, you will know. You will know concerning doctrine, whether I'm speaking of myself, this is just a man-made thing, or this is from the Father. You will know. You don't have to be deceived about anything. Isn't that good news? Praise God. Some people get so caught up. My ministry, my thing. It opens them right up to deception. It's never been about my ministry. I've never worried about ministry. I've never asked for ministry. I didn't say, oh God, give me a ministry. I never wanted it. Never asked for it. I said, oh God, I want to know You. God, I want to know You. Next thing I know, I'm in the ministry. Okay, great. God, I want to know You. Next thing I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. God, I want to know You. Next thing I know, I'm preaching in front of you guys this morning. Good. God, I want to know You. I just want to do Your will. See, that's what I want to do. I just want to do His will. Ministry isn't my thrill. That's for Him. That's for you. My thing is knowing Him. Hallelujah. And knowing I am doing what he wants me to do. And hitting the mark every time. That's all I want. I just want to please the Father. See, that kind of attitude will keep you on track. Keep you free of deception. Cause you to walk in victory. And have a healthy, strong spirit. Glory to God. And your spirit is like the engine to your life. And it's going to empower you in every area of life to be able to accomplish everything God has got for you to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.